Welcome to Does the Team Think with Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who has dropped the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And team, you're going to hear a question now put to you by Mrs. Agnes Kennett. Mrs. Kennett, welcome to the program. May we have your question, please?
Famous people in the past have given their names to articles of clothing, like cardigan and raglan. To what articles of clothing would the members of the team like to give their names?
Famous people in the past have given their names to articles of clothing, like cardigan and raglan.
Oh, she speaks nicer than you.
To what articles of clothing would the members of the team like to give their names?
Well, strangely enough, I knew a man named Cardigan Raglan.
Jimmy Edwards.
Well, there's so much limited scope here if you're going to have to name an article of clothing, because actually, if you work it out, there are only a certain number of articles of clothing in existence. If you start from the top and work down to the... what you just said.
to the feet.
Yeah. Feet.
For me, the elderly people in the audience will remember, I used to talk a lot about comms.
Comms.
Do you remember? Yeah. So I think comms should be called Askies. And, you know, during the war, comms nearly got me into trouble because we were in the top flat in Broadcasting House, and one day I washed my comms out in Askie Toff and I hung them out to dry on the aerial, and the war was on, you see, and I was arrested for signalling to the enemy. They said I'd signal dot, 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 dash. Well, of course, it was the three dots with the three buttons down the front and the dash was the... The escape hatch.
You go to the Scots now, what lovely people the Scots are. Under the kilt, they gave the name to Jock Strap. Mm. You see.
What about your name attached to a piece of clothing?
I can think of one for Ted.
Can you?
A hat.
Yes.
Because you raise a hat, you see, if he sees it. Raise a hat. And then there's Cyril. Cyril, I think you could call... Spats would be good for Cyril. Have you got your Fletchers on?
Oh, I like that.
And Jimmy, hunting jacket.
Yes. No.
Then if he lost it, you could say, has anyone seen Jimmy's Jimmy?
When Jimmy's had a couple of drinks and he plays polo, he wears a pith helmet.
Actually, the...
Who's that called after?
Arthur Pith.
The article of clothing...
Yes, Jim.
...which is very rare these days, and only a few of us use them, is a snood. You know what a snood is.
I know what a snood is.
What is a snood, Jim?
No, a snood is something that gentlemen used to put their moustaches in when they went to bed in the days when moustaches were popular. It was a kind of a hammock.
I hate to correct you, Jim.
No, it's true.
No. Ladies gave the name to snoods because from the back, they look as if they're fishing for mackerel, and when they turn round, you think they've caught one.
Jim, I want to turn my attention to Mrs. Agnes Kennett, who's been very patient. Mrs. Kennett, can you think of any articles of clothing which could have their names attached to them?
I think Ted's T-shirt, because of his golf.
Good. I like it.
And Arthur Askey stays, because he goes on forever.
And he plays Dame in pantomime, of course.
And Cyril earmuffs, because he's always talking about his lug holes.
Yes.
That's nice.
And Jim, I think, a nightcap.
Oh, there you go.
She's alive.
I think, Mrs. Kennett, you're better than the team. You come and sit here.
But I would like to go back to the snood thing, because the two ladies in the front down there nodded assent, didn't you, madam, when I said...
She's wearing a nice scent.
You've heard of a snood, haven't you? That's good. Well, you see, it is.
I have one every afternoon.
A knitted...
It's a moustache cut.
No, it's a sort of knitted thing that you tie around your moustache to keep it in place and tie a knot at the back of the head. And when you wake up in the morning, it's still in place, and so is the moustache.
Yes, as long as that's...
It's almost worthwhile going to bed with Jimmy Edwards to see what it looked like.
Thank you, Jim, very much, and thank you very much, Mrs. Agnes Kennett. Thank you. Team, a question is now going to be put to you by Mrs. Valerie Checkitts. Mrs. Checkitts, welcome to the programme, and your question, please.
Do the members of the team suffer from absent-mindedness? And if so, what have been the results?
Do members of the team suffer from absent-mindedness? And if so, what have been the results?
I said to Betty, I must go to this show on August the 8th. And she said, but August the 8th was yesterday. And I said, oh, dear, I've missed it. And she said, no, you went.
Well, I can say honestly that I'm the oldest member of the panel, but I'm not the slightest bit absent-minded. I've got a wonderful memory, haven't I, Fred?
You can tell that by...
he said, pointing to Cyril.
But, Arthur, you can tell that by the jokes.
I encouraged that gag.
I must interpolate because we don't mean any.
Not here, not in front of the ladies.
Abs respects the heart grow fonder.
This friend of mine came out of a pub. He'd had a couple of drinks and he jumped up in the air and fell flat on his face. He'd forgotten his bike.
Like Jimmy Edwards got home the other night. It was raining like hell, you see. And he had his umbrella with him. And when he got in the house, he put his umbrella in bed and stood up in the sink all night.
In the sink?
Jimmy,
the only thing that I've ever done
was... You only
said
that for a plug.
I put the bottle of scotch out and took the cat to bed with me.
What I do is to tuck my suit up in bed and hang myself over the chair.
But I think we're all prone.
I'm... Well, yeah. Now and again, if you get lucky.
Well, I'm a Presbyterian.
I am prone to lapses
you're
of
prone.
Memory.
Give us a for instance.
You wear your snood when you're prone.
And prones are very moving, too. Yeah.
Oh, it's a prune!
No, I'm not.
Prones and custard.
No, I'm awfully glad to have furnished you with that wonderful line of jokes, gentlemen. I was just saying that I am prone. I am prone to lapses of memory, and I've just had one. I can't think where I am.
Mrs. Checkets, do you have lapses of memory? I mean, are you absent-minded yourself?
I made a rice pudding recently and forgot to put the rice in.
Did you say that?
And you said to your husband, well, dear, it's turned out right again.
I mean, is that the only absent-minded thing you have done? There must have been others.
Well, I buy Christmas presents and hide them, and I forget where I put them.
I like that.
Yeah, I won't get one this year, then.
I went to see my doctor about it. I'm so worried. I said to him, I get these lapses of memory. He said, when did this start? I said, when did what start?
Well, when I was at college, I remember we were in...
You were? No. He was at college.
All right.
That's the funniest.
All right. Wigan Technical School, if you want to know. Anyway, this is Professor, who was a very absent-minded professor. They have this reputation, you see, professors of being very absent-minded. And he opened a little package and he said, now, boys, I'm going to show you the remains of a desiccated frog. And then he opened the package and there were four nice little cheese sandwiches and he said, but surely I ate my lunch.
That's how the lunch... Of course, vicars are supposed to be very absent-minded. The clergy, you know, there was a vicar going, and he was reading the Ten Commandments, and he got to the seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery, and he said, oh, now I remember where I left my bicycle.
I must just tell you, if you're going to talk about professors, my father was actually the original absent-minded professor of mathematics, actually. Was.
Really?
Anyway, he was taking me for a walk.
If he hadn't been absent-minded, you wouldn't have been born.
Father and son story. He said, we'd go for a walk one Sunday morning towards Richmond Park,
yes.
On Sunday morning in the days when there's not a lot of traffic. And he said, such a nice sunny morning. And he said, everybody seems so friendly. Everybody's waving at me. Good morning. He said, everybody's waving. Good morning. Complete strangers are waving at me. Isn't it nice? And then eventually a lady came up to him and said, Professor, she said, your pocket's on fire.
Ah, he was wearing a blazer.
No. No, but he'd left, he'd put his pipe in his pocket and it was burning and they were all saying, I say, Professor.
Mrs. Checkets, if you met these four gentlemen in a tube train and you had to make up your mind which of them was the most absent-minded, just by appearance, would you say that any of them give the appearance of an absent-minded man?
Well, Professor Edwards looks as if he's forgotten to shave lately.
Thank you, team, and thank you, Mrs. Valerie Checkets. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruby Needles.
And slipping.
And Mr. John Renard has a question for you.
If the members of the team were cast away on a desert island, what would each of them be most glad to have got away from.
If members of the team were cast away on a desert island, what would each of them be most glad to have got away from?
Two men met on a desert island and one said to the other, I am here for the wind and the rain and the sun on my face and the loneliness. And the other one said, I'm here because my wife is learning to play the piano and my daughter's learning to sing.
But I think the point of this question is an involuntary castaway business. And I would heave a sigh of relief if I found myself on a desert island that I was no longer going to have to manipulate lifts. I've done a lot of travelling recently. And
what, in lifts?
As it happens, if you counted the number of feet I've gone up and down, I've probably been up 100 miles and down again in blasted
lifts. What's more, his uniform didn't fit him.
I call it liftmanship, the whole business of timing. I mean, you're going to go somewhere when you're staying in a hotel, as I always am, and you've got to add at least 7 minutes for waiting for the lift.
Jim, would you rather walk?
No, I wouldn't, but I mean, on this desert island, there would be no lift. That's the point of my remark.
So you'd have to walk up the palm tree.
I can just see Jim on a desert island, completely stark, as sitting under a palm tree singing, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
I tell you what would be a nice thing, to sit on this desert island thinking you'd never hear Roy Plumley again.
Yes, Roy Plumley. But what happened to him?
I will go further, though. Seriously, on a serious note, ladies and gentlemen, I would be delighted not to have a TV set anywhere near me. The bane of my life is television sets. Usually they don't work.
Why don't you pay your license?
Usually they don't work. The picture goes...
Oh, well, if you live in Abyssinia, it will, but...
And when you get it right, it's somebody talking about indigestion tablets. Or underarm deodorant, or hernia belts, or something really...
You're looking at the wrong channel, aren't you?
It's not too good on the others, because all they're talking about is
Well, talking about desert islands, you know, my college professor...
What?
Wigan Elementary.
He said to one of the brightest pupils in the class, he
Your
said...
Your brother.
It wasn't my brother, only by marriage. or a friend of the family, I don't know, we never counted. But this fellow, the teacher, said to him, if
so
you were cast away on a desert island with 12 girls, what would you do? And he said, I'd keep myself fit, sir. I would swing from trees and keep myself fit and healthy like Tarzan. Ah, he said, but what about this problem? Supposing you were cast on the island with 52 girls, what would you do? He said, oh, I'd take a lot of vitamin pills to give me strength and health. And ah, he said, but what about this problem? Supposing you were cast on an island with 365 girls, he said, in that case, I can't see the problem.
Well, I'd be glad to get away from women chasing me, I must admit, to get on a desert island, because, really, as you know, I am the Donny Osmond of the geriatrics. And whenever I appear, I get women running down the centre aisle with bottles of liniment and throwing their corsets on the stage with their telephone numbers on, you know.
Arthur, well, Arthur, you've got it all wrong. It's you that chase the women, but you've forgotten why they're catching.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mr. Renard. Thank you, Mr. Renard, very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, after that question on desert islands, it's time to welcome Mr. Desert Island himself, our special guest for today, the man who's shipwrecked so many hundreds of stars, ladies and gentlemen, Roy Plumley.
Ah!
Ah! I love that. Welcome, Roy. Welcome to the program. Mr. Plumley, just...
What about this, Mr. Renard, using one of my questions from Desert Island Test, taking the bread and butter from my mouth? I'm going to sue you, Mr. Renard.
Would you like a percentage?
La da 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 da.
Can I?
Da 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 da
Quiet, team.
There were two seagulls flying along there, and a jet plane zoomed down in between them, this jet plane did, and a cloud of feathers went up, and this cloud of feathers settled down into two dilapidated-looking seagulls, and one said to the other, that was a fast bird, wasn't it? The other one said, you'll fly fast if your behind was on fire.
Anyway, Roy, let's see if they can resolve the answers to your question.
My question.
Your question.
Has any member of the team ever appeared in opera... or formed an ambition to do so?
Has any member of the team ever appeared in opera or formed an ambition to do so?
L'attendi mobile.
I don't see what people see in opera. It's only a lot of well-known tunes strung together.
Jimmy Edwards stood as a Conservative candidate for Paddington North.
And what's that got to do with opera, Ted?
He'll travel Tory. It was a tough fight, man, but we made it.
I should finish on that. Thanks for coming, Roy. We can't improve on that.
You stay
I very
here.
Much, I very much enjoy that opera called Zabaglione.
Zabaglione? Mm. I thought that was an Italian dish.
I like about opera particularly is the words. I don't like the music. I think the words are wonderful. Like my lover this morning upon the Rialto I met in this message... I badly retail. Your lover this morning, my lover this morning, your lover this morning upon the Rialto I met in this message me and retail. Yes, 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 this message is wrong, I badly retail.
You know what that is?
I swoon with excitement, pray quickly proceed. Your lover this morning upon the Rialto.
You know what that is? That is the Tet from Lucia de Lammermoor.
Is it?
You're not allowed to mention sex. It's the Tet.
I thought he played for Real Madrid.
A good definition of an opera, I think, and I do hope you'll agree with me, is it's where a man gets stabbed in the back and instead of bleeding, he sings.
I'm sure that Roy Plumley has parts for you if he were to become an impresario.
Parts?
Yes, parts.
Yes, well...
Have you, Roy?
Yes. Professore Giacomo Edwards. Oh! On the end there.
Ore mio, tu maestro,
I obviously...
Speaking of English, Plumley.
Obviously, there is Falstaff, but rather than that, I'd put a blonde wig on him and let him be a Valkyrie.
I haven't been a Valkyrie since this morning.
Have you parts for the others?
Yes, well, Eduardo Rey, for example.
Yes!
Yes. He'd be fine as Nero, wouldn't he? I mean, fiddling.
Nero!
Is there an opera about Nero?
Yes, there is, by Rubinstein. Not often done.
Ah, no, it isn't, because I know all the operas. Now, what's that one called?
Nero, Nero. My God,
Fun in the Forum.
All right, we've got something, I'm sure, for Arthur.
Arturo
Ascari. Arturo Ascari.
Yeah. Rigoletto the Jester, but that doesn't really have the opportunities for comedy. I would think Figaro.
Thank you. We'll let you know.
I always say,
the Rossini one, not the Mozart revolutionary one. Rossini, yes.
If your wife wants to wriggle letter.
Roy Plumley has a part, I'm sure, for Cyril.
Cyrilissimo Fletcher.
Cyrilissimo Fletcher. Sounds a bit quiet, doesn't it?
Handsome tenor type, poet, obviously. Rodolfo in La Bohème.
La Bohème, yeah. I've got a dog. I call him Tales of Hoffman because he doesn't often bark. But
oh, yes.
Thank you. But I still think that Cyril, with those flashing eyes and teeth, ought to play Carmen.
As long as he flashes only his eyes.
Ought to play Carmen. Have any of you ever sung in any dramatic role at all?
No, but I saw a lady once in Milan.
He didn't ask you that.
Arthur, have you ever sung apart from pantomime?
Only when I was an amateur. I used to sing in... Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh, you're giving it up. You've gone professional.
Oh, no, there is.
Only the best in the world.
I found the milk round was tiring, Ted.
This lady was at the Scala Milano.
Are you going to get it out?
Yes.
And it was raining.
It's Rosalina Neri.
It was raining. No, it was raining, and I had nowhere to go. You see?
Well, you can always go in the theme mark Gentissimo.
As long as you pianissimo. But anyway, she'd had an enormous dinner of spaghetti.
And you could see it.
And halfway through the aria, she burst and lassoed the conductor.
Jimmy Edwards.
What?
We know that you were a chorister at St. Paul's when you were a little fella.
Yes, St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we sang all the great stuff there. We knocked out Bach's, Bach's Passion Music. We knocked out Handel's Messiah. We did all that Hallelujah.
That's why they got the scaffolding outside now.
You probably finished up with Handel's Largo.
And I will
certainly
say this.
Wouldn't have been the water music anyway. Jimmy Edwards.
But I would love to. I would seriously, Plumley. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank
so
you.
So nice of you to drop in from time to time.
Not a bit.
He's only here because he couldn't find a parking place.
Yes. But let's keep in touch.
How are things on the desert island?
Not bad.
There's only two of us here. Remember, there used to be an opera company called the Carl Rosa. Ted, I think you should be with Carl Rosa.
You think I should be with Carl Rosa? But just a moment, Arthur. Carl Rosa's dead.
That's what I say. You should be with
Carl
Rosa.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Roy. Lovely. Thank you.
That's right, you dear. And Mr. Alex Rennie has a question for you, team.
Does the team disagree with the saying that puns are the lowest form of humour? And have they any favourite puns?
There was a young fellow named Gandhi, went into a pub for a shandy. He lifted his cloth to wipe off the froth, and the barman said, "Blimey, that's Andy."
But that is not a pun.
No, it's not.
You forced that in.
You've got to laugh, though.
No, I mean, a pun is, as our friend Mr. Rennie, manners, said, is a play on words. Right. Now, I went into a pub the other day, a fellow came in with a dog, and I had a new hat, and I put it on the seat by me, and the dog chewed my hat up. And I said to this fellow, "Is that your dog?" He said, "Yes." I said, "He's just chewed my hat up." He said, "Well, what about it?" I said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" He said, "I couldn't care less." "Oh," I said, "that's your attitude." He said, "No, it's your attitude."
Ah, that's clever.
There's an example of a pun. Cyril, have you one?
Well, I don't think that puns are in any way a bad form of humour. I think they're most elegant. And after all, elegants never forget.
Well, that's stretching things a bit too far. You know.
Jimmy Edwards.
I've always cracked puns ever since I came in the business. In my halcyon days, when I worked with Halsey and Doris Waters.
That's a pun
already. A play of words.
Yes. I used to go into a wine merchant's called Grape Expectation.
And do you remember the game of knock knock? That was absolutely puns, wasn't it?
Yes.
Remember knock knock? Knock knock.
Who's there?
Ginger.
Ginger who?
Ginger yourself when you fell off the bus.
Mr. Rennie, you've been very patient. Are you a man who likes puns?
I'm afraid I am, yes.
Yeah, I thought you might be, since you asked the question. Have you got a little bon mot for us?
This is attributable to the famous beachcomber. He tells the story about the god of thunder who was riding across the clouds, shouting, "I'm Thor! I'm Thor!" And his girlfriend, Diana, the moon goddess, said, "Don't be silly, you've forgotten your saddle."
I like it.
I've heard better, I must say.
Well, I like
it. I rather like half puns, such as egotism is a case of mistaken nonentity.
I like the good straightforward gag.
Of course you do.
Yes. You know, straightforward.
I haven't had one for years.
No!
Well, where a snood?
No, it's a good gag, you know, in itself. Not a pun, a play on words, because...
Oh, yeah.
I don't care so much for puns, Mr. Rennie. I like a good straightforward gag.
He wants
to
tell a gag. Tell it, Ted.
My suit is made of virgin wool. That comes from the sheep that runs the quickest.
Thank you, team, and thank you very much, Mr. Alex Rennie. Thank you, Mr. Rennie. Mrs. Joan Creasy, may we have your question, please?
Yes. Does the team think it is wise to broadcast this programme at mealtimes when too much laughter can cause indigestion?
Does the team think it is unwise to broadcast this programme at mealtime when too much laughter can cause indigestion?
Only when there's somebody else on.
Well, for instance, what I do when Jimmy or Ted or Cyril are talking, I shovel the food in my mouth then.
So you stop?
Because I won't laugh at all, I know that.
But you mean...
But when I do it, I don't eat because I kill myself laughing.
But Arthur, that would mean that you'd never get a mouthful because, we never speak.
It also proves that somebody laughs at your jokes.
Me?
Yeah.
I think it's the most flattering question we've had from this charming lady, Mrs. Creasy. I think it's awfully nice of her to come and put it. What was it?
Well, listen, we don't get indigestion, but we do get a repeat.
It's news to me. I must say it's news to me that this programme is broadcast at lunchtime. As a matter of fact, it's news to me that it's broadcast at all. I thought we just did it to keep the engineers in work.
Well, I know that a lot of people, as soon as Max says, Welcome to another edition of Does the Team Think?
They run across
they
the
say,
room.
Oh, God, switch that thing off.
This programme is heard all over Britain and in certain parts of Cleeple.
I tell you, it's interesting because there are four channels, you know, madam, in the radio in this, and there's about half a dozen commercial ones as well, isn't there?
There are, yes. Aren't radio there? Merseyside and Radio
it's
this
all
and Radio
changed
that.
Since I went away.
Yes.
But Radio 4's my favourite, and all you hear on that is Roy Blasted Plumley. Will he never get off that desert island? He must be starving by now.
Mrs. Joan Creasy, do you listen to this programme at
yes,
all?
Yes, I do,
you
yes.
You do?
Does
that
it?
Is why I asked
that
the
makes
question.
Two, I know.
Ah.
It also gave me indigestion at the same time.
What, out of pleasure or...
pleasure.
Discomfort.
It's all very well to be on the radio, which is a kind of a tape. It's all tape, it's all magic. And people are listening while eating. But I have, in Australia, appeared in a show where we did the play. Eric Sykes and I did the play in what's called a dinner theatre. The people are actually masticating right there in front of you.
Take their mind off it.
And Jimmy told me...
That's not the idea of it now.
Jimmy told me, he said, the manners of that audience were terrible. He said, I've seen people eat with their fingers, but soup?
I just want you to imagine, you fellas, you youngsters, doing this programme that we're doing now, and all that lot down there with the funny hats on, are eating.
Well, it's like playing the clubs up north, Jim.
Because hey,
they've all got chicken in the basket, they've got fish and chips, the fellas that come along with them, and you're saying, a funny thing happened to me when I came here tonight. It's a hell of a job to hold their attention.
There was a case, wasn't it, with Roy Castle, somebody was doing that North Country club, and in the middle of his drum solo, the entire audience got up and left, and the manager says, don't worry, Roy, pies have come.
Much team, and there I'm afraid we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Arthur Askey, Ted Ray and Cyril Fletcher, and our producer Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and of course our special guest Roy Plumley. This is MacDonald Hopley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.